This is part two of my GonerFest special episodes. Let me apologize in advance for the windiness, literally the wind, interfering with my microphone while I'm interviewing Tom Sharpling. But that was also signaling the arrival of fall in Memphis, which at that time was greatly needed, and it smelled great too. Here we go.
Okay. Hey, this is Greg Cartwright, and you're listening to Frederick's Mind Thing.
Can I drop some weird mumbo jumbo on your audience? Seem to eat it up. Do you feel like, do you feel like you are a person living in this world, or do you feel like everyone is living in your world? You feel like everyone is a supporting character to Planet Fredericks. You don't feel like you're just a small part of a world.
I am a small part. I'm a small part of their world.
Sure. Okay. You're a small part of their world.
Because we only have our perceptions now.
Yes. I'm aware of that. We have more than that.
What? All right, so we can interact with the world with our fingers or our eyes and our ears. I don't dare.
But somebody told me what you do for a living.
Yeah?
It's very impressive.
Seriously? That's only because I can't work for anybody else.
I don't know what this is. That was a leading question. I was waiting for you to fill in the blanks.
I can't work for anybody else.
It's hard. I can't either.
My boss is a jerk, though.
I work with people. I don't work for people. I made a decision at one point in my life. I'm never working for anyone ever again. I will work
with people. They can't tell you what time to come in.
I work with people. For the rest of my life, I will work with people.
Oh, I like that.
That's doable. It's not easy, but it's in it. But it's doable.
That's good. Yeah, well, it's more important because it's not the money.
Figured I'd drop some weird mumbo jumbo on your audience. That's what they seem to eat it up.
And I'm with you too. 6,000 hits a month.
What, that's how many you take?
That's how many I take. Oh, there's four.
I take the garbage bag.
Dwayne, take the garbage. Dwayne, take the garbage. Dwayne, take the garbage. Dwayne, take the garbage.
I give you as soon as you beat that go away.
Somebody told me what. It's hard. I can't either.
My boss is a jerk, though.
Man. I work with people. I'm working with people. I made a decision at one point. I'm never working for anyone ever again. I work with people. For the rest of my life, I will work with people.
Well, it's more important because it's not the money.
Figured I drop some weird mumbo jumbo on your audience. Seem to eat it up.
Now he knows it, then it's the more.
You can look back.
You know, I never bought a Led Zeppelin album.
I have like three of them, but I never bought
one. Of that?
Yes. Oh, I go all the way back. Johnny Winter was very important in my musical development. And he always put, when they don't know who it is, public domain.
Public domain.
And then if he would do so much homework to make sure that he got the right people on, it's like the total opposite of Led Zeppelin.
How did Jimmy Page think he wasn't going to get caught?
But David Johansen said that Willie Dixon used to steal songs from people.
I mean, there has been a tradition where the thing is a
you know, it's a living. living form.
Mm-hmm. People take the same time, recontextualize it or reinterpret it, and it becomes the next thing. But I do think on a higher level, when you're suddenly making a lot of money on it, then the rules have changed.
Absolutely.
The whole thing, you're not playing them for people live to entertain them, or recording them and only a certain amount of people are buying it, nobody's getting rich on it. When you do get rich on it, you do have a responsibility
to give back.
Yes, to at least make sure that the people who made it possible don't feel cheated by it. And it's only a little bit of money.
So these guys, 1 year's pay, they can live on forever.
That's not, it's not like they're not
going to be as rich as they want to be. Going to be as rich as they want to be.
What is enough?
Like the White Stripes. I don't like the White Stripes. Like the guy.
Jack.
The guy who produced and engineered his first two albums.
You guys
Jim
Diamond?
Jim Diamond,
yeah.
He would not. Jim Diamond, yeah. So he recorded them for no money because they were a small band at that point.
But then those records got re-licensed. But then those records got re-licensed.
Yeah.
Those
records got re-licensed.
Just throw the guy some money. Just
yeah.
Enough money.
You have enough money.
The guy some money. You can find them laying around. And that's how I got my Led Zeppelin records.
Yeah, there was no shortage of Led Zeppelin albums.
No. Eugene Chadbourne had a good one. And he says, when I go to used record stores, I never see my records in used bin.
Yeah.
I see tons of Born in the USA, yeah. So I figure I'm more popular than Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
People get rid of his records, they keep mine.
Track 100%.
But that's a very interesting view. That's a very interesting view.
You should read that book, I Hate the Man That Owns His Bar.
Which is
it's named after a song, and it's about being on the road and trying to make a living and going to independent record stores and dropping stuff on.
And you're a big Shockabilly fan?
Not as much. Because that's so much more diverse. Because he plays jazz, he plays rock. I mean, and I know he's schizophrenic as far as the way he goes back and forth, but damn.
He's not trying to be anybody who he's not.
No, and he's so great to talk to. I've had two opportunities to sit down and spend 10 minutes with him.
Did he say the same thing about you?
Oh, I would think so, yeah. He was playing with a Zappa tribute band called Bogus Pomp. And I said, you know what would be really funny, Eugene? If you could get these guys to play a country song.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going through the show, and he's playing along with them. And then all of a sudden he says, this time I picked this song. And it's like, dunk, dunk, dunk. And these guys, these are all high trade music.
Yeah, yeah.
They're looking at each other like, what the hell are we going to do with this song? And Eugene just kept playing, and then they ended up joining him. It was beautiful.
That's awesome.
And I said, now that's my hero.
I have to go check on things.
Oh, please, Tom.
Thanks for having me on your podcast.
That's scary. No, don't see. It's real.
It's happening. I don't see. What are you looking at? I don't see anything.
What?
I just see a...
It looked like a slightly red-necked guy with a red mustache and a baseball cap. Oh, jeez, and you're taller than me. You didn't see that.
No.
I guess I didn't get enough sleep over the weekend. Beautiful.
That's awesome. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Is Tom saying oddcast?
Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Frederick! Oh, 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 Frederick! Oh,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm at the Connor Fest with Greg Cartwright. Could we call you the tenth hole of the festival?
Why not?
You hold everything up. I just interviewed Tom Sharpling back in the alley there. Yeah. Interviewed Tom. I walk outside. Here's Greg Cartwright.
Watch it in Florida, man.
Do I see you one time?
What's up?
Say, this is Greg Cartwright.
Okay. Hey, this is Greg Cartwright, and you're listening to Frederick's Mind Thing.
Obsession with the girl group sound.
Also caught Ty Siegel twice,
including a one-man band performance at the Garner Record Store to close out the festival.
This is Girlfriend. We'll be right back. Siegel with Girlfriend from his end-to-end wonderful album, Melted.
And so ends Goner Fest special number two. Stay tuned for episode, is it 11 or 13? Ah, I'm so confused. Well, whatever. We'll have a regular one coming up pretty soon. Thanks for listening.